buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, but even if he was on this side of the glass, he would join me in welcoming you to the Buckmaster program on this Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. Tom, some of these computer profiles look, they look very promising for maybe 2 to 3 inches in this rain event that is coming up from tonight through Saturday night. But we're looking at some areas like up at our house in the lower central foothills. Unofficially, we've already had 5 inches. So the ground is very saturated, Mr. Fairbanks.
Yes. And the heavy rain possibilities, they're not saying that it's going to be generally area-wide. It's just that some of the showers that we will be getting, some of the rainstorms we will be getting, will probably produce heavy rain.
There you go. All right, the Buckmaster Show, now 10 and a half years into our radio project after 22 years over on TV. So that's a lot of time in this community for Mr. Buckmaster. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our radio station, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the live stream from kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio is Ted Maxwell. Ted joined the 140-member Southern Arizona Leadership Council in April of 2013. He assumed the role of President and Chief Executive Officer in July 2018, so that's 3 years ago this month. Ted Maxwell served 15 years in active duty Air Force and an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a major general in 2018. His final military position was as the commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. Just this year, he was appointed, he is the newest member of the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. Ted represents the Pima County on that board. He's also currently serving on the Governor's Water Augmentation, Innovation, and Conservation Council. And as if he was not busy enough, Ted is also on the board of the Arizona Bowl, which will be the 7th annual Arizona Bowl, will be coming up this New Year's Eve. And our friends Matt Russell over Russell Public Communication announced today they'll be announcing at a news conference this coming Tuesday a title sponsor for this year's Bowl. General Maxwell, Ted, good to see you.
Sir, it's great to be here. I appreciate it, Bill.
So, with that about the Arizona Bowl, I know you can't disclose that until the news conference on Tuesday, but will we be happy with what we hear?
Bill, I think we will. We're really excited about it. Obviously, Nova Home Loans was a great sponsor for us. They helped us get it off the ground, get started, had several good years. We brought OfferPad in on a one-year sponsorship to get us through not only having a bowl last year, but kind of in our mind as members of the bowl, it was about bowl survival. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that we did not lose. Because of the support we've had in the community, because some of the games we've had, and because of the bowl we've put on, our bowl has got a lot of attention in a very short lifestyle. Life cycle. But what we really needed to do is try to find a long-term sponsor who could take us to that next level, both fiscally as well as with opportunities and as a partner. And I think we found that in the organization you'll hear about next week.
I remember very well the Copper Bowl, and I attended those games, and I always felt this was a natural for Tucson to have a bowl. I mean, you look at some cities that try to kind of pretend they're a warm weather location and they put on a bowl, but Tucson is a natural for this.
I fully agree with you on that topic, Bill, because if you look at the founders, the folks, the Fletcher McCuskers, the Ali Farhang, who's mm-hmm. still the chair of our board, Mark Irvin, when they came up with this idea and they pitched it to John Volpe with Nova Home Loans, they talked about it being a community event. It's mm-hmm. not just a bowl game. I mean, we are a college university town. Obviously, the season's over there. By then, hopefully, the Wildcats are off to play in a bowl somewhere. Mm-hmm. But we are a community town, And if we could surround ourselves in this event, that's one of the reasons we've moved it to, it will always be on New Year's Eve. We've made that kind of a non-negotiable with when we were out searching for sponsors, because we want to make it a whole day event. You've got the game, then you've got the bowl party downtown, and give it a destination feel. This region thrives on tourism, and I think by selling the bowl the way it has and ensuring we've put on a high-quality bowl, and we've been very lucky to have some very, very good games, several games that ended in overtime, we've kind of built that reputation. So I think, I know with our two, with the Mid-American Conference and the Mountain West Athletic Conference, who's been with us since the beginning, they both are committed to the bowl, and they want it to be here. And we know that the teams in their divisions want to come to Tucson. One, you pointed it out, we actually do really have good weather, and we have proven that this community will embrace them and put on a good program and a good show.
The Arizona State the Department of Transportation, the Transportation Board, you're the newly appointed member of that seven-member board, correct?
Correct.
You and your colleagues have put out a five-year construction program. How does Pima County fare in that program, and is there some pavement preservation that we can look forward to?
Pima County has done very well in that, and a lot of what actually goes into the ADOT programs that people miss are the projects that are all supported by the RTAs. I mean, the Maricopa, the MAG RTA brings a lot of money, and ADOT dollars get stretched in projects by combining normally with heavy federal funds, but also with local funds. And that kind of, if you look at the percentage of construction jobs being done in the state, everybody goes, well, naturally, the majority of them are in Maricopa and Pima. And the real reason for that is we've got local fiscal support and engagement on those projects. So we do very well. The one I think most people will notice that's in the five-year plan is the breaking ground on Oracle, going basically from River all the way up to Tangerine and several different sections of projects that will make that road. And if you've driven on it, you'll appreciate the, sure, the benefit of seeing that not only get enhancements, but through the enhancements, you're also going to get some pavement preservation and upgrades. The interesting thing about the five-year plan, and this is an area of concern, is if you look at the out years from fiscal 2022 to 2026, in fiscal year 26, there's no funding for expansion of our state highway system or our state road.
Why is that?
Just because the state of our roads overall in Arizona has been deteriorating, and all the majority and soon nearly all the money will be going to some safety enhancements, but also through pavement preservation of both our roads, our bridges, our interchanges, and that's a challenge. Funding is always an issue. I think we're lucky right now. I mean, Mike Hammond, he's always been on your show talking about this.
Sure, we've talked with Mike a lot over the years about this.
Yeah, Mike looked at me and said, oh, really? You get the appointment and all of a sudden money starts coming to the state for infrastructure. Sure. And right now we're kind of lucky. You know, there's several different aspects. One in the appropriations bill that's going through Congress right now that has projects that have been identified by the members of Congress to include things like the Tier 2 EIS for the Sonoran Corridor and other areas of improvements, bridges, particularly because bridges are one of the ones I think people put off, but they can potentially be one of the biggest dangers. So we have to keep them in good shape. But we have federal dollars coming in, and that's going to make it different for us in the future. But infrastructure is expensive. The costs have been going up, and that's the challenge. So people don't like to deal with the big dollar gorilla in the room, and I think infrastructure is the backbone of our economy, so we need to take care of it.
We're speaking with Ted Maxwell, General Maxwell, the newest appointee to the seven-member State Transportation Board. He's also president and the CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Ted wears a lot of hats. He gives a lot back to this community. Why don't we take the break? Well, let me ask one more question about the transportation situation in that five-year plan before we take the break. One of the things we would talk with your predecessor, Mike Hammond, about is that stretch through the tribal nations on I-10. That's a difficult stretch. The pavement is deteriorating there. There have been issues about trying to get the nation to come on board with improvements to I-10. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're going to see many of those improvements coming. There's a big focus to make Interstate 10 from Tucson to Phoenix a road that can truly effectively and efficiently bring both goods, services, as well as people. There was $50 million that was allocated in this year's legislative budget to go towards improvements on I-10. And ultimately, I think the goal there, and I do believe we will achieve it at some point, will be three lanes all the way.
I was wondering if you'd see a three-lane three-lane ribbon of a roadway between Tucson and Phoenix.
One of the challenges there, obviously, that's going to have the bridge, which I believe also has been some funding identified for that in the Gila,
yes,
the Crick area. That will need to be expanded. And anytime you're expanding a bridge from two lanes per side to three lanes per side, it becomes a challenge. But it can get done. It just will create some traffic conflicts as
it trying
works.
To move traffic around that construction.
And I know the first $50 million is really focused on bringing down from South Phoenix to that bridge area, and then we'll continue hopefully further on south to make that road. Many of us drive it a lot, and it'll be a great benefit to see if that can get fixed.
All right, more with Ted Maxwell, but first I want to tell everybody about our great, our title sponsor for our studios, Green Things and Zocalo Village. Green Things, now with the rain, this is the great time to go over to Green Things, 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road. Put some color in your garden. It's been a very, very long, difficult, dry spell, but now things are looking pretty good, and they look very good over at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Zocalo Village, when you're over at Green Things buying your plants and your pottery, stop by, take a look at Zocalo Village. It's great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. More with Ted Maxwell right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. One of our great sponsors through the years has been Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That's a beautiful area of the Southwest, especially beautiful right now with all the rain that we've been getting. They've been getting a ton of rain as well, which makes the Gila National Wilderness looking as green as Ireland. So you might want to think about a trip over there. It's only a three-hour drive approximately from Tucson to Silver City. You can start your planning, and I hope you will. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, and I think you'll be impressed. You'll see all sorts of activities, including the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument and some really lovely places to stay. We continue now with our conversation with Ted Maxwell. General Maxwell spent a lot of time in the military, 34 years. He retired as a major general in the commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. He is the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's the newly appointed member representing Pima County on the State Transportation Board. When you look at the, and in a few minutes we'll be joined talking about the Sun Corridor pivot playbook that they've got going on right now. We've got Lee Lambert joining us and Adriana Kong of Bank of America, who will be with me for the 12:30 to 1 o'clock hour. How are you looking at this recovery? What are your members over at leadership telling you?
Well, I think if you look at it, first off, both I'm glad you're going to meet with Lee and Andrea. They're both members of SALC. And I was lucky enough to be asked by Joe Snell to join him in the as part of the team that put together the Pivot Playbook. I think overall, if you look at our region and if you look at the State Transportation Board's funding, our numbers are coming in better than we anticipated. So the budgets, I think everybody made some budgets that were based on the anticipated effect of the pandemic and staying in. I think what we found is that a lot of our businesses are doing extremely well. The problem is the ones that aren't are the ones that were had to completely shut down. The mm-hmm. restaurants, the mm-hmm. hospitality industry. Obviously, tourism down here took a huge hit and still is. You know,
right.
we don't have the borders open yet with Mexico, and we rely so heavily on Mexican visitors, you know, coming up from the south, not only for business, but more importantly for pleasure and for to shop and to stay and take advantage of the amenities and the restaurants and everything we've got in Tucson.
I was disappointed the government did not follow suit with Canada opening the borders to Canadians to the U.S., but the U.S. still is playing hardball with Canada and Mexico and pushing that that extension of basically closed borders till mid-August.
Yeah, we were hoping the same, Bill, to be honest with you. I think some of it was the little bit of the recent spike that they've talked about, obviously.
With Delta variant, right.
Yeah, it's nowhere near what it was, but we were all hoping for open borders because there's, you know, the Arizona citizens, our citizens from our region, we've been traveling south, mm-hmm. traveling south of the border, both for mm-hmm. entertainment and for business. And I think sometimes we lose the impact that it has on our community up here. But I think we're postured in a position to come back strong. I think there's been some gains for this region. The whole idea of remote work and work from home has highlighted the advantages of living in a place like Tucson, where we've got access to some incredible nature, some incredible activities. Arizona is one of the few states that has the seven different ecological areas here. We can be at 7,000 feet in Flagstaff, like we were talking about on the break.
Sure.
And we can be at sea level out in the area of Yuma in one day. Mm-hmm. It's great for, you know, training of the military, but it's also great for people that want to come out and experience a high quality of life. And I think we offer that here in Tucson. We just have to keep focused on that.
I want to talk a little bit about Davis Month. And when you look at the Tucson economy, and it's been this way for many years, you've got kind of a three-legged stool. You've got Raytheon for sure, the University of Arizona, and DM. Could you give us an overview? Where are they right now at DM as far as personnel? I don't know how often they do those, the base closings. Does that come up every 5 years or something?
It's been a long time since they've had an actual BRAC, the base realignment
the term
and closures.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's the political desire or will for it right now. Mm-hmm. So we always are prepared for that in the state. There's, mm-hmm. I know both Governor Brewer and Governor Ducey have had teams that are set to know what we have to do for Davis Month and Air Force Base. And I don't know the exact numbers, but I know it's close between 10 and 11,000 personnel, if not more.
Has it been steady?
It's been steady. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty steady. If you look at that base, it's thriving. You still have numerous aircraft on the ramp. It's still a very highly attractive place for people to come and train at. Why? Because we've got the weather. Mm-hmm. We've got the weather. We've got the airspace. We've got the ranges. And so the military influence here in our economy has always been incredibly large because the majority of the men and women live off base. Mm-hmm. Majority of them support it. I'd be completely miss an opportunity if I didn't also pitch for the impact of the Arizona Air National Guard, the largest F-16 base. Now that Lucas started their drawdown, the largest F-16 base in the nation is
really?
Out on our airport.
Wow.
People don't realize that.
How active are they out there?
They've got, it's a full-time, it's unique because in guard language,
it's not just
it's
a weekend.
Full-time.
The people think a guard,
exactly.
You think a weekend.
It's
weekend
not.
Warriors, they come out on Friday night, they go home on Sunday. Are you saying this is a full, round the...
The 162nd is a full-time training wing, and we train airmen for the F-16 at both from the U.S. and from international partners. And so there's a ton of economic impact out from that organization as well, because remember, guard bases don't have facilities like dorms or the clubs and the restaurants and the facilities. Everything occurs off base. And then almost 1,700 airmen make up the Southern Arizona portion of the Air National Guard, with almost 1,000 of those full-time employees. Mm-hmm. And they all live in the community, have probably lived in the community. I'd served 19 years living here in Tucson in the Arizona Air National Guard. So between Davis Monthan and the 162nd wing, who have incredible relationships working together, there's a big, significant military impact in this community.
The profile of the aircraft, how are those aircraft going to change over the next 10 years?
Well, I think 10 years is a long window. You've seen that the A-10 has been a fighting point for many of our legislative and congressional leadership for a long time, because it plays an important role both in our military and here at Davis-Monthan. There's a proposal to downsize it slightly. That we saw that in the paper the other day, but mm-hmm. it's really, the Air Force is viewing that as a right-sizing opportunity, mm-hmm. and the impact it has on Davis-Monthan would not be significant for a couple reasons. One is there's already missions identified to come in behind them, mm-hmm. missions that are very compatible with the A-10 mission, very compatible with the community. And so I think Davis-Monthan as a whole is very safe in the Air Force's mind because the value it brings to the training of our airmen. Mm-hmm. Same reasons that people want to come here and train, we can effectively be stationed here and trained. And it's airspace, weather, ranges, and it's just a great opportunity. So I feel very strongly that Davis-Monthan will be a military base for a long time into the future. And the challenge will be when the A-10 does eventually go away. Now, the mm-hmm. Air Force's latest projections, that's not going to be till 2030, 2035.
And the so-called Boneyard, the regeneration facility, that's not going away. That's a permanent fixture.
Yeah, the running joke, and I don't know if it's still true, used to be that the fourth largest Air Force in the world sat in that Boneyard. And it is truly an amazing sight. You know,
it really is. You've got aircraft going back to World War II now, or still out there, or Korean War maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the scary part, Bill, is now I can go out there and look at planes that I've actually flown. And it's kind of, And the people, what people sometimes miss is that facility not only does that storage, it does regeneration when they come out of it, and other either we sell the parts or the planes to other countries, or in the case of like the F-16, we turn them into drone aircraft, which we actually go out then and do training on. But they're responsible for all that, and they're responsible for a lot of the maintenance that occurs on the A-10s, the C-130s, anything the Air Force needs. And I know all the A-10, a large portion of the A-10 rewinging program, which is going to give it that extendability, has occurred right out there at AMARC. So it's truly an amazing, incredible operation that's invaluable to the U.S. Air Force.
So in summary, Ted Maxwell, our core, our economic core in this community is solid.
I believe it is. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure that we continue to support it, to endorse it. We've got to bring our, you know, city of gastronomy has been a thing that's sold us, gotten us a lot of attention. Well, we need to make sure that we continue to support that and the restaurants that make up and give us that, you know, that designation. We're going to come back as travel picks up, and it has. We're going to come back as a tourist site. So I think that the part of the economy that was hurt by the pandemic has the potential to come back and potentially come back even stronger.
All right, Ted Maxwell, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Mr. Buckmaster. I appreciate it, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right. We have our Sun Corridor Pivot Playbook, and I know, Ted, you will be wanting to hear that, right? Because you've been very much involved with that.
Absolutely. It was a great opportunity to be along with it. And if you just go through the things that they identify, those are things that we've needed, and some of them we've needed for a long time to continue our growth and prosperity in this region. And that's what it's all about. We're going to address crime. We're going to address poverty by making our economy more vibrant and provide more opportunities for the citizens of our region.
There you go. Ted Maxwell. Thanks a lot, Ted.
Thanks,
all right. We'll take the break right here in the Green Things Zilcalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen.
Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $30 billion, with 182 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 53,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us on the live line, Adriana Kong, Market President for Bank of America in Tucson and Southern Arizona, and Pima Community College Chancellor Lee Lambert. Chancellor Lambert chaired the Sun Corridor, Inc. Workforce Development and Training Focus Area for what is called the Pivot Playbook, which is a formal blueprint aimed at addressing a number of economic development issues. Adriana and Lee, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Tell me a little bit.
Great to hear Adriana's voice too.
Oh, great to have you both. Great to have you both with us, Adriana. Bank of America, very supportive of our community, and I wondered what was the reasoning behind becoming really the exclusive sponsor of the Sun Corridor Pivot Playbook.
Yes, definitely. You know, the support for Sun Corridor and the Pivot Playbook is directly connected to Bank of America's overall commitment to help strengthen all of the communities where we live and work. We believe that the Pivot Playbook can help create economic mobility and foster a strong recovery for all in our community. As you're aware, and I know this is an understatement, but the health and humanitarian crisis affected all of us, but it's taken an especially large toll on our business community in Southern Arizona. So since the start of the pandemic, Bank of America has really been focused on working with business clients of all sizes to tackle new challenges, such as helping to secure support under the CARES Act and also finding solutions for changing operational and capital needs. So, you know, this work continues as we look to emerge stronger, and together we're moving forward within the community. And also, you know, this is where the Pivot Playbook really came into play.
Chancellor Lee Lambert, we just were speaking with General Maxwell, Ted Maxwell, on the program. He was with me here in studio, and I asked him, do you think, have we emerged from the pandemic relatively with a relative strong economy? What would you say to that, Chancellor Lambert?
I would first of all say that, you know, we have positioned ourselves well to respond to any type of crisis that would come our way. So I think if you look at it that way, of course, who would have thought the pandemic would be the crisis? So I think we're in relative good position compared to many other communities.
When you look at this whole Pivot Playbook, are we ahead of the game? This is being talked about a lot now on the national level, Lee.
Oh, I would say we are well ahead of the game, and that's because of decisions we made pre-pandemic. So I'll give you some examples. Our board supported a very ambitious, visionary plan to create, among other things, centers of excellence that really expand capacity in critical business and industry opportunities in our community, so IT, cybersecurity, health, healthcare, applied technology, public safety, and more. So the fact that we were already thinking ahead really placed us in a very competitive position going forward.
Pima Community College has been a leader in our area in workforce development and training. So the bones were good, right, to begin with?
The bones, so that's what we've been strengthening. That's what my reference was. So absolutely, the bones are good. And so the pandemic is just only accelerating our need to move quicker into the direction we're going. And that's why the Pivot Playbook is so essential for that acceleration to happen.
Adriana, join us here and talk a little bit about Bank of America and workforce development. Why is that important to everybody over at B of A?
Sure. You know, at Bank of America, we recognize that what a critical component workforce development is if we're going to successfully create economic mobility. So that is why Bank of America is working with nonprofit organizations, employers, and a broad network of partners across the country to support workforce development efforts to meet the demands for a diverse talent pipeline. In Tucson, workforce development has been a key focus of Bank of America's efforts to invest in our community because we believe creating pathways to sustainable wage jobs will fuel the economic growth. But, you know, like with Bank of America's support, partners like Pima Community College, which has the power to prepare students of color with education and training needed to secure quality jobs, can now improve completion rates to directly support Tucson employers and enable those students to achieve greater economic independence. You know, the economic recovery efforts can't be just about returning to status quo. They must be about building back equitably by developing a workforce ready to take on these 21st century jobs. This will not only help attract top companies to our region, but also ensure Tucson's economy is open and thriving for all.
Workforce development is something Lee Lambert has been talked about for years here. How do you define it when it comes to what we need in the post-COVID economy? If you could elaborate a bit on that for me.
Sure. But let me first touch on this, Bill. I want to thank Adriana Lacey on her team and the others, Bank of America, because they saw in what Pima Community College was doing, and they advocated for the fact that we are part of that $25 million Bank of America Jobs Initiative to bring more people of color into good-paying jobs in our community. So I want to thank Bank of America for their vision and support, and because that's essential to what we mean by workforce development. It's really preparing individuals not only for today but for the future opportunities, and those future opportunities are going to require a growing set of new skills to work in hybrid jobs and other areas. You can't do that without great partners like Bank of America.
Adriana Kong Romero is with us, representing Bank of America here in Southern Arizona. Adriana, talk a little bit about how you see us recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. I know that some of the B of A, you had to kind of, across the country, B of A had to do kind of a reset. How is the kind of the reemergence out of the pandemic going at Bank of America?
Sure. Yeah, you know, the rapid spread of COVID-19 created health, economic, environmental, and social challenges around the world. But we don't see COVID-19 as a temporary crisis, but just an opportunity to really move forward, rebuild, and create some advancement. So as we looked at a report from our global research team called The World After COVID, it studied 3,000 companies across 25 market sectors and identified a few mega trends. So working closely with some of these businesses across the country, you know, these trends we're able to look at and help, you know, move forward. So one of them being, you know, technology wars. We saw a higher investment in data tracing to better prepare for future health crises. COVID-19 also significantly increased the use of technology to support working from home, with 50% of the sector analysts expecting technology investments to continue to grow because of that. For us in the banking sector, we saw small business transactions just skyrocket. And so when we currently looked at it just for our second quarter earnings, the volume was still up 123% year over year as our small business clients turned to digital solutions instead of issuing cash and checks. So, you know, we saw a great pivot, and we're starting to continue to see that going forward. And then there's also still the greater focus on health. So COVID-19 really drew attention to the importance of healthcare and the critical role it plays in national security and economic growth. And lastly, we have the new consumer. So Generation Z grew up with online, and they thrive in digital. But, you know, it was easy for them to pivot. But then it also really brought forward, you know, what are some other ways where we can work with other customers that it may have not been digital natives, as, you know, they called Generation Z. But, you know, so as we worked with them, we saw that a lot of these habits are likely to stick, which implicates, you know, just some of the business strategies going forward.
We're talking about the Sun Corridor, what's called the Pivot Playbook, and there are five focus areas: company recruitment, talent acquisition and retention, shovel ready and real estate. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and tourism. And today we are focusing on talent. We're focusing on workforce development and training with Adriana Kong Romero, the market president for Bank of America in Tucson and Southern Arizona, and Lee Lambert, the chancellor of Pima Community College. We'll continue with our conversation with our two guests right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we continue with our Sun Corridor, the Pivot Playbook. We've been focusing today on one of the five focus areas of the Pivot Playbook, and that is workforce development and training. The Chancellor of Pima Community College, Lee Lambert, is with us on the live line, as is Adriana Kong Romero, Market President for Bank of America in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Chancellor Lee Lambert, you chaired this focus group for the Pivot Playbook about training a highly skilled workforce. What are a couple of the key recommendations that you made in this new plan for our region?
So, first of all, it was an honor and pleasure to serve in that role. I think some of the things I would just briefly touch on is really looking at how we can continue to support our local businesses by providing them state or local tax breaks to support work-based learning. So what that means is to support internships for students to come in and do on-the-job training or apprenticeships. Also to look at expanding what we call integrated education training models for adult education folks so they can come in, get the basic skills, get the workplace skills they need to go back into work and get that college education as well as their high school diploma depending on their circumstances. Also putting in place other types of policies. For example, you know, when you look at our high school participation rate in college, one year after, it's not very good. It's below 50%. So what if we could get more students participating in dual enrollment, especially dual enrollment career technical education, starting in the ninth grade? And by the way, I want to thank the governor and the legislature for passing a recent bill that will allow us to do exactly just that where we can start taking ninth graders and 10th graders, put them into these programs instead of them having to wait to being, you know, juniors and seniors or graduates. So those are just some of the many things. And one last thing I'll hit on about this, creating a local fund to support reskilling, upskilling efforts here in the community long before the need is there. So that way we can be proactive instead of reactive, especially as new companies are looking to come in the area or to expand in our region.
Lee, where would the funding come for that fund?
It would come from the existing base of employers as well as from the county and the city and looking at other entities and from the state. And so if we start to be more proactive like other communities have, they've created these funding pools that allow them to do this. I think it's time for us to do this not only at the state level, but for us, more importantly, in our region at the local level.
Adriana, a little bit about if you would weigh in on, we talked in our first segment a bit about the post-COVID economic recovery. Are you optimistic? Are things looking good? Is your Bank of America assessment pretty good for 2022?
No, we're definitely seeing that recovery, and we see that not only within our individuals, but also with our business clients. We see a lot more investment, and you know, things like the Pivot Playbook are really going to help the community pivot. You know, it'll take a collective effort from public and private entities, and that's why for many years Bank of America partnered with local nonprofits, elected officials, and business and civic leaders to help drive this economic opportunity in the areas of health, jobs, and affordable housing, as these are the areas where significant change is required to achieve this sustainable process. So as we look at it, you know, going forward in 2022, we'll continue to build on all of the advancements and things that we learned from 2020, so that way we can, you know, come out of this a lot stronger.
The massive job losses during the pandemic means workers need to be retrained and reskilled to find new ones. Lee Lambert, when you look at that, how do you assess a worker who has been displaced. What are a couple of the elements that you look at as you determine a path forward for these individuals, please?
So first, let me talk about the learner themselves. First, we need to assess if they are someone who just needs a little refocus and they already have the skills that just need to be transferred versus someone who will need some additional training support in addition to already having the transferable skills. And so maybe a short-term training of 6 months or less to get them up to speed. And then you have another group who will need to come in for a longer-term training. So we need to assess that. But then we also have to understand better what the employers need in terms of the skills so that we're not just focused on a degree as a proxy for the skills, but understanding the actual skills that they will need and then match that against what that learner has. And then you have your gap analysis, and then we can start to provide the actual training that's needed.
How about rapid advancements in automation? How Lee Lambert, is that going to what response, how does that play into the response to the pandemic, please?
So the automation is going to be critical because this was already happening in the economy prior to the pandemic. The digital skills segment has been growing the fastest in most sectors of the economy. So we already knew that, and so we were already preparing to equip people with those digital skills, digital tools, And so now it's just been accelerated, right? Now we've all been using Zoom as an example of that. So we're learning how to use the technology as part of our daily work lives. We just need to make sure everybody knows how to use those tools to do collaborative work, drive greater efficiency and productivity, et cetera. And so our job is to make sure we get them trained in that areas.
Adriana, let's bring you in one more time for a few of your closing remarks. What else would you like to bring to the table here? What else is important in helping the Tucson community pivot?
Definitely. The progress will be achieved together. I mean, that's the key. You know, with partnerships such as the exceptional leadership of the Sun Corridor team, our local leaders, nonprofit partners, businesses and organizations, just like Pima College with leaders like Chancellor Lambert, you know, being equipped with a pivot playbook, I'm confident that Tucson will come back stronger and even more competitive than ever. This is what we as a community are working towards, and the lessons we've learned from today's challenges are truly shaping the changes and innovations we'll need for a better tomorrow.
And Lee Lambert, the collaborative effort, a few comments about how this has all come together in your opinion so far.
If you think of what Sun Corridor and the group of outstanding leaders there, our ability to anticipate the future, that's what the playbook is about. Sun Corridor had the foresight to say, we need to put something in place to accelerate. And that was, so we were ahead of the game even before what was happening on the national and state level. So you have a group of visionary leaders from Joe Snell and his team to the Adrianas and her team and so many other people in our community. We're just fortunate we have a great group of leaders who think ahead.
All right, Lee Lambert, Chancellor, Pima Community College, Adriana Kong Romero, the Market President for Bank of America in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Thank you for talking and focusing on one of the five focus areas for the Sun Corridor Pivot Playbook, and that is the very important, they're all important areas, but workforce development in training is certainly a real key there. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Thanks a lot. And that will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday edition. Hope you will join us tomorrow for the Buckmaster Radio interview with Tim Tomier, who is the assistant city manager, and one of Tim's focus areas is Tucson Water. So there's a lot to talk about there. That'll wrap it up on behalf of our guests. And thank you very much, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on Money is coming up next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.